May 8, 1932, by doing his will, the creature impedes the course of the gifts of God, and if he could would place him in immobility. How in all his works, God gives the first place to the creature. I continue to think about the divine will, and about the grave evils of the human volition, and how this, without the life of the fiat, is without guide, without light, without strength, without nourishment, ignorant, because it does not have the teacher who teaches it the divine science. So, without it, the creature knows nothing of his creator. One can say that he is at the alphabet, and if he knows something, they are hardly the shadows, or some vowel, but not with clarity, because without the divine will, there is no light, but always night. This is the reason why so little is known about God. The celestial language, the divine truths, are not understood because the divine will does not reign as life, as prime act. It seemed to me I saw the human will before my mind, as dying of hunger, ragged, cretian, all stained, limping and wrapped in dense darkness, and since it is not accustomed to living of light and looking at it, every little light of truth eclipses its sight, confounds it, and blinds it more. Oh! How there is something to cry over in the great misfortune of the human will. Without the divine it seems that it lacks the life of good and the necessary nourishments in order to live. But while I was thinking this, my celestial teacher Jesus, making me his brief little visit, told me, "My blessed daughter, doing one's will is so very grave, that it would be less evil if the creature would impede the course of the sun, the sky, the wind, the air, the water. And yet impeding this course, such disorder and terror would happen, that man would not be able to live anymore. And yet this great evil would be nothing compared to the grave evil of doing one's own will, because with this one impedes the course, not of created things, but of his very creator. Adam, by withdrawing from our will, stopped the course of the gifts that it wanted to give to his beloved creature. If he could have, he would have constrained God to immobility. Our Supreme Being, by creating the creature, wanted to be in continuous correspondence with him. It wanted to give him now one gift, now another. It wanted to make him so many beautiful surprises, never interrupted. Now, as one does his will, so he tacitly says to his Creator, withdraw, I have nowhere to put your gifts. If you speak to me, I do not understand you. Your surprises are not for me, I am enough by myself. And with reason he says this, because without my will, that is his primary life, he has lost the life and the capacity of where to place my gifts, of understanding our celestial language, and makes himself a stranger to our most beautiful surprises. By not doing our will, the creature loses divine life. The most beautiful, the most interesting, most necessary act of his creation, and of how he was created by God. This is the reason why as man withdrew from our fiat, he disordered himself in a way that every step wavered. Because he detached himself, he rejected the vital act of his life, and the stable and permanent act that must live with him as one single life, that is, our divine will. Given that, we feel immobilized by many, because we want to give and we cannot. We wanted to speak and he does not listen to us. It is as if from a distance we make our sorrowful laments heard by saying to him, "Oh, man, stop it. Recall unto yourself that will that you rejected. It does not pay attention to your evils, and if you call it, it is ready to take possession of you and form its kingdom in you. Kingdom of dominion, of peace, of happiness, of glory, of victory for me and for you. Oh please, do not want to be a slave any more, nor live in the maze of your evils and miseries. Such is not how I created you, but I created you king of yourself, king of all. Therefore, call my will's life, and it will let you know your nobility and the height of your place in which you were placed by God. Oh! How content you will be, and you will content your creator." After this, he added, "My daughter, only then does one feel the true life in herself, when she enters into my divine will, because in it the creature sees with clarity her nothingness, and how this nothing feels the need of the all, that is, of he who drew her from nothing in order to live. And as she recognizes herself, the all fills her with itself. This nothing feels the true life. She finds the immediate contact of sanctity, of goodness, power, love and divine wisdom. She recognizes in herself the power of the creative work, its palpitating life, and the extreme need for this divine life. Otherwise, she feels as if there were no life in her. It is only my will that makes her true nothingness recognized by the creature. And it continuously breathes over this nothing so as to maintain the divine life always inflamed in her, in order to make her grow as a work worthy of our creative hands. On the other hand, without our will, the creature feels as if she were something, and the all remains outside of the nothing. So I continued my acts in the divine will, and my poor mind was lost in the multiplicity of its works that ran in search of man in order to embrace him, and line up around him to defend him, to lend him all helps, to make him happy, and to let him hear its loving laments, its sorrowful notes, even into the depth of his heart, that while the divine fiat in everything it does searches for man, it wants to find him, to love him. He does not search for it in his acts, he does not surround it, nor let it hear his loving notes, nor his sweet laments that he wants he who so much loved him, and whom he should love. Now, while I was lost in his divine works, my sweet Jesus resumed by saying, "My daughter, all our works at extra have been done and will be done only for creatures. Our purpose is only for them, because we have no need. Therefore, in the work that we do the creature sparkles in our act, she flows in it as purpose of our work. And since every act has its purpose, so the reason that moves us to work is the creature, because the first place in all our works is occupied by him. He sparkles and flows in our act, therefore we can say, 'You were with us when we extended the sky and formed the sun. In that azureness and in that light we gave you the place of honor, and you flowed in them.' In every act of the word done on earth, in every pain, in every word, you had your place of center and you flowed in them as your property. Now, we do not give to the creature his place in our act in order to be useless and let him idly flow in it. No, no, idleness has not made anyone holy. We placed him within our acts so that he could place his acts inside of ours. Ours must serve as model, as space in order to be able to place his acts inside with more security. We also labor. To love is labor. And our labor, because it is love, is operating, vivifying, creating, sustaining of everyone and everything. Therefore, even though the creature has his place in our works, oh, how many of our works are seen empty of the acts of creatures, rather, he does not even know them and lives as if we had given him nothing. So our works have a sorrow and they incessantly ask for he who, while he has his place, he neither makes use of, nor with his love works together with, the work of his creator. And yet, the centuries will not end until our works have the purpose for which they were made, that is, the creature inside of them to work as center of their acts. And these will be the ones who will let the divine will reign as life in their souls. Fiat,